Well, good morning. All right. I look nothing like Josh, right? Yeah. Hey, I'm glad to be here with you today. Thank you so much for having me come and share with you God's word. It's really exciting to see from a close distance, what God is doing here in Griswold. I get to before I get to work with Josh. Josh is a really good friend of mine. He's one of my favorite guys to work with, though. Him and his family, I think the world of them. And just to give you a 30 second bird's eye view, what we talked about 3 years ago is happening. And that excites me. What we talked about, what we planned, what we prayed. God surprised us and surpassed our understanding or our planning. And we're really excited. I remember walking into Ryan's office one day, introducing ourselves. Hey, this is who we are. We're new in the town. And I'm glad Ryan is here. We're really excited for what God is doing. Josh is a really good friend. I get to work with him in church planting, get to help him develop strategy, etc. But he's a great guy. So thank you so much for having me. I'm wearing my We Love Norwich shirt, not because I'm boasting about Norwich, but we have at our church, at Cornerstone City Church in Norwich, we're having a big Olympic theme day after church. We all go into the Chelsea parade to have a big picnic, and the young adults put together a big list of games that they want to compete against each other. And so everyone's wearing the We Love Norwich shirts today. That's why I'm dressed with a shirt. I don't have time to dress. After that, I've got to be there at 11 o'clock, at least 10 past 11. So let's go into God's word today for a short bit and see exactly what he wants to teach us. Psalm 27 is where I'll be at. Psalm 27. I'm talking about hide not your face from me. Hide not your face from me. Nothing annoys me more or hurts me more or frustrates me more when I'm talking to someone, they just turn away and walk away. I was like, why are you so disrespectful, you know? And at home, when my wife and I are going at it, we're having a conversation, and I say, I'll tell her, that's it. We just don't want to talk anymore. You guys do that too, or I'm the only one that has that experiences? It's like she wins, and you keep quiet, and you walk away. That's what you do. You give in, all right? But I do not turn and just walk away when my wife is talking at me. Neither does she does with me. That's one of the things that I said, man, when we're talking, just don't walk away. That's disrespectful. And so we teach our kids as well, when someone's talking to you, give them their utmost attention. Don't walk away. That's what we're going to talk about today. Hide not your face from me. Because God does not walk away from us. God does not want us to see his back. He wants us to engage what he has to say face to face. And when we look at our journey as Christ followers before God, there's three things that we always in our journey praying about or seeking. There's three things. I'll just list them to you and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Number one, in our Christian walk, we praise him for all the blessings and privileges he bestows upon us. We always praise him. The songs that we sang, we pray 10,000 reasons, even more to praise him. Number two, in our journey, we bring our problems and concerns before God. Right? We bring our problems and concerns before God. Number three, we ask him for strength to persevere. Those are the three elements that we go to God to when we seek him. Whether we're singing about him and to him, whether we're reading about him and for our edification, or whether we are praying, seeking God, these three things always come. We praise him for the blessing and privileges. We bring our problems before God and our concerns. And then we also ask him for strength to persevere in this life called Christ-likeness as a Christian. And many a times when we look at the psalm, King David brings that to us. Many psalms will talk about the praise of his lips to him. And then he says, a couple other psalms, he will say, hey, you know what, Lord, help me through this. I'm going through a struggle, Psalm 51, all right? Father, forgive me. Okay, take not the Holy Spirit away from me. Psalm 51 after the Bathsheba incident. And then also he teaches us, give me the strength to persevere. When you read the psalm, some psalms have the entire three lessons put together. Some psalms have just one aspect of these three things. Some psalms have number two, some psalms have number three. But in us, in our life that we live, we always, in our journey, have those experiences when we come to God. We praise Him, we ask Him for help and to bless us, and also we ask Him to give us strength to persevere. In Psalm 27, I'm going to read this psalm really quickly, and we're going to spend time with the second portion where we take our problems before God. We take our problems before God. We'll focus on that. But let me, allow me to read Psalm 27 from the New International Version, and we'll spend some minutes there. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Verse 7, and that's where we're going to focus on, verse 7 onwards. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of You, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide Your face from me. Do not turn Your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me Your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. Verse 13, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Fantastic psalm. I was like, you know what? This guy is talking about me. When people accuse me, or when people look down upon me, or when people question our walk with the Lord, David is talking about his personal experience and what's going on in that context. And David is writing, when you hear the word God's face, it means His personal presence or simply His being. So when I say, do not turn your face from me, he's not talking physically. He's talking about, don't ask me to leave Your presence. That's what the mean face means, the word face means. It does not. But in our understanding, we take it literally, so we can have a better understanding. But God's face resembles His presence. That's what He's talking about in this psalm. Psalm 24:6 reminds us, such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face, O God of Jacob. Psalm 105, verse number 4 tells us, look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. So the psalmist is teaching us, seek to be in God's presence always. Because in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there is fullness of hope. In the presence of God, there is victory and clarity. And so you and I, those of us who are Christians and are living this life for Jesus, it's the presence of God that we have living in our heart called the Holy Spirit. And we take with us wherever we go, that presence of God that's living inside of us, because He illuminates our path. He brings conviction when we need it. He brings comfort when we need it. He brings confirmation when we need it. So there's not a day that goes by that the Spirit of God is not with us. And so He's talking about seeking His face is a primary characteristic for us, those who are believers, that means we always want to seek to give God glory. That's the chief end of man, to give God glory and to enjoy Him forever. Our vision statement, our church, is to display the glory of Christ. Cornerstone City Church exists to display the glory of Christ. Not only at church, to display the glory of Christ in Walmart when you're standing in line and they say, you know what, my register is closed, go to the next line. That's an opportunity to display the glory of Christ. Or when somebody is treating you bad on the road when you left 15 minutes late, that's an opportunity for you to display the glory of Christ, even if it's for a millisecond when that guy is passing by. Or when someone annoys you at work, or your neighbor comes and accidentally drops trash in your yard, that's an opportunity to display the glory of Christ. So you and I are called to display the glory of Christ in this dark and crooked world. Whatever opportunity we find ourselves that God brings in our path, we should see as an opportunity to display the glory of Christ. Married couples, it was not our idea to be married. It's God's design to display the glory of Christ. Children, for you to be submissive to your parents, it's not our design. It's to display the glory of Christ. Church, for us to stand up and to hold dear the truth of the Word of God in this place where we feel that we are such the minority, it's an opportunity to display the glory of Christ. What would Jesus do? WWJD. That's why you and I exist. To display. I'm an avid soccer player. And a fan too. Now, if I'm sitting at 6:30 because I watch English Premier Soccer, Liverpool, that's my team. I hope there's no Manchester fans, yeah? Good, good, good. It's like Yankees and Red Sox. So I'm on the Red Sox side. Anyway, that's another story. Ooh, I knew it. Anyway, if I'm sitting as comfortable on a winter's morning and under a blanket, hot cup of coffee, it's 6:30 in the morning because of the time difference, I'm watching this game. But if there's something hanging and blocking my tiny view of the TV, I'm going to wake up. I don't care how comfortable I am, because I want to see the full display. But if our team is losing and something blocks the score, I don't mind. You know. But I will still wake up and go, because why? I want to see the full display of that screen. I paid 55 inches TV. I ain't seeing 40 inch. I want to see the full display. Jesus died for us so we can show the full display of His church to this dying world without anything coming and blocking the view of what we should be in this world. Full display. And so if there's something in our heart that we feel is not giving a full display of Christ, we come and say, God, please forgive us. Help me to deal with this issue so that the world may know that You are my Savior. The full display of Christ. In us going and living this full display of Christ, we need to go to God with our troubles. We need to go to God with our concerns. I work all over in New England teaching and training church planters. And the millennials are saying this. You mean the millennials, right? You go to church? I said, yeah. They said, you are that desperate? Because the world idea of going to church is the people who are so desperate they can't fix the problems on their own. That's how the world, in fact, New England looks at the few churches that we have. Oh yeah, these people are so desperate. They're going to ask a God who they can't see. Let me tell you, if money was a problem in this world, it should have been fixed. If politics was the solution in this world, it should have been fixed. Josh told me that. You see, we have a sin problem, and only Jesus can fix that. That's why we are here. We are here to come before a holy God saying, God, I need You. Because I can't do it on my own. That's why we came today. So David is teaching us, like in verse number 5, He will always invite His children in His house. He will keep me safe. God will keep me safe. God will hide me, and he will set me high upon a rock. God will. Look at verse number 5. But let's see today in God's word, the second point I'm trying to make is we bring our problems before God. Because God will never hide his face from his children. That's a premise where we're going to talk about for the time that we have. Because many of us, those of us who believe in Jesus, think that, oh, I'm going to bother God again. Or God is sick and tired of me. Or I messed up again and I got to go to God. Let me show you from God's word why it is so important for us to know, those who believe, that we never exhaust God when we call upon him. Word of God is teaching us today. Number one, God will never turn his face away from his children because God will never turn his back on us. Listen to this. God will never turn his back on us. How do I know? No matter what we've done or what we will do, God will smile when we consider to bring our problems to him. It brings joy when we take our problems to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why God exists, to be watching over us. What does the scripture say? He neither slumbers nor does he sleep. He watches over us. You know what's the meaning of slumber? The meaning of slumber is signs of sleep. What are some of the symptoms of sleep? That's a symptom. God does not even yawn. Think about that. Leave alone. He neither slumbers nor sleep. We know sleep, we know what that is. But slumber is like, oh, I'm tired of River Church. No! Because we went before you guys. He got really tired with us. No! Do you know what a comfort to know? That when you go and say, dear God, he's not going to turn his back on you. In fact, he's like, what do you want? What did the gospel writer say? Which father wants bread gives a stone. So I want to encourage you, church, that there's nothing that you can say to God that will turn his back towards you. Even though we get more excited about our kingdom than his kingdom. And even though sometimes we put our hope in wrong places, God still thinks favorably when we come and say, dear God, I come to you through your son Jesus. It brings his attention. It catches his attention. So I want to encourage you. There's nothing you can do to have God have his face turned his back towards you. If he does that, I don't want to be here. You never exhaust God. That's why he's the Alpha and the Omega. He will always exist. If you and I are going to exhaust God, there'll be a cutoff time for God. I'll take no more appointments. But God is always waiting for us to call upon his name. Sometimes we feel, I don't ask God now. Go to God. Couples, if you're struggling and you made covenants and you did, go back to God. He's not going to be exhausted. That's why he exists. Number two, when you go to God, not only he will not turn his face away from you, he will never walk away. Let me tell you this. God will never walk out on you. God, that's what the children are learning today about trust. I don't want to put my trust in someone when I need him the most, takes the next boat out. God will always never walk out on you. God has yet to become exasperated with our shortcomings. God does not regret that he made us. He does not grow weary. In fact, this is it. God is not looking for ways to show, God is looking for ways to show how much he loves you. He's not looking for ways to show how much you hurt him. So whatever God is doing, he's showing ways to show you how much he loves you. He's not bringing resurfacing up. Because God knows, Psalm 139, before we were formed in our mother's womb, God knew. Nothing surprises God. So God exists to show you every day how much he loves you. Through his son, Jesus Christ. God is not sitting there with a scrapbook pad and said, here goes Kevin again. Oh, here goes Sean again. No. God is like, I'm waiting for Kevin to call me. I'm waiting for Sean to call me. That's why God exists. He never walks out on you. Number three, he will never reject us. How many of you felt rejection in any shape or form? Felt rejected? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who made you and I, never reject you. He'll never reject you. Come on, when the guys were in a fiery furnace, Jesus was there. When Daniel was in lion's den, he was there. Even the shadow of the valley of death, I will be with you. You are with me. And sometimes we look at acceptance. Will God accept me? Will God accept me? Because the opposite of rejection is acceptance. God will accept you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. God don't reject you. God knows who we are. That's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me, so that in him we may live this life and for his glory. Sometimes we feel, man, I let God down. You never let God down. You're just giving him another opportunity to show you how much he loves you. You can never let God down, because in you is his son, those of us who believe. What the Bible says, if you have the son, you have everything. So God will not reject you. Because there's never a moment in our life that we have obeyed God long enough or we have earned something. He's just lavished on us. Number four, he will never forsake us. Number four, he will never forsake us. You know, sometimes we think, I wonder if God still holds that grudge against me. Everything that we do is found in Jesus and was dealt with. Scripture teaches us, you know, when we say, when we talk, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. We have the tendency. That's not forgiveness. Scripture teaches us, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions away from you. So God is not a forgetful God. God just chooses not to remember. Right? God chooses not to remember. There's no DVD collection or Blu-ray collection. When we go to heaven, we have a portion in the library. No, it's done away with. He says, I cast all your iniquities into the depths of the sea. And I put a sign there, no fishing. Because we have that tendency. When God has forgiven us, we want to bring back that mess. No, it's done. It's done. Scripture teaches us that. So he will never forsake us. He will never hold anything against us. God is not ashamed of you. You know, sometimes you think, well, I'm the black sheep in God's family. You know? Well, we are all black sheep in God's family. Because we think we have a standard. Our standard is holiness. Because we cannot achieve it on our own. We need Jesus. Amen? If there was an exam for me to go to heaven, I'll fail. If it is math, I won't even start writing. I'll know I'll fail. You know what I'm saying? Everything is found in Jesus. You will not be forsaken. Number five, he will never cast us off. He will never cast us off. You know what a comfort that is to me? I'm like, I'm in. I know running through your mind like, wow, look at all those things going through my mind right now, and God still puts up with you. Yes! That is why marriage is based on Christ's love for the church. That whatever the church does, Christ still puts up with her. Why? You ask yourself, husband, love your wife, Christ loved the church and gave himself. Why? Because he's comparing a covenant. He's saying Christ, the Bible teaches us in Romans, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Come on. There's nothing pretty about sin. But the covenant love is based on marriage. So whatever you go through in marriage, remember the covenant that Christ had with his church. That whatever we do, Christ still loves us. Yeah, in our marriage, whatever you do, you should still love each other. Forgive as the Lord forgiven you. And you keep that covenant. Why did God choose Christ in the church and husband and wife covenant? Why? Because that covenant can never be broken. It's talking about scripture. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is the five things. Number one, he will never turn his back on us. Number two, he'll never walk away. Number three, he will never reject us. Number four, he'll never forsake us. He will never cast us off. Number five, scripture teaches us in the psalm that we read, verse number 7, and following, hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Why is he talking that way? Because David feels like you and I sometimes, if I go to God, he must be disappointed in me. God is not disappointed when you go to him. In fact, when you go to him, he gets glory. In fact, when we call, angels begin to sing. Don't you want to keep angels singing? So keep on going to God. Now let me ask you a question. Why? Why? What causes a holy God? Old Testament teaches us God is so holy, he cannot look upon sin because he has to do something about it. If he doesn't do something about it, then he's not holy. But why? You ask yourself, why God will not turn his face the opposite direction? Why? This is the reason why. Mark chapter 15, verse number 34 and 35. This is what? Why? And in a loud voice, Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because on that most painful day in history, God the Father turned his face against his Son. So that God today will not turn his face towards us. On that day, when Jesus hung on the cross, he says, my God, why are you forsaking me? Why are you turning your back towards me? This is painful. This is hurtful. And the Father turned his face because Jesus took upon the sins of this world, upon himself, and felt the pain of the Father turning his face so that those of us who believe, the Father will not turn his face again. Because the Father turned his face on Jesus. Mark 15, 33 and 34. Because Jesus suffered for us in our place. Jesus bore the pain, unthinkable pain, so that today, when you call and say, Father, the Father will not turn his face because our sins are all dealt with on Jesus on the cross. My shame, my guilt was all put on Christ on that day. And Jesus bore the pain of rejection from the Father, because the Father cannot look upon sin. That is why Paul writes, now those who are in Christ is a new creation. You and I can go straight to the God the Father through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. So do you know why we can go to God the Father, straight to him? So do you know why we can have every assurance when we go to him? So you don't know why you don't have to be ashamed and embarrassed when you go to him? Because everything that you and I are going through right now in our heart, all our sin of this world was taken and placed on Jesus. And Jesus took our place so that you and I can go to the Father face to face. That's why Jesus prayed, Father, my God, my God. There's a song that sang, you are forsaken, you were condemned. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. That's where that song comes from. You see, you and I don't have a cross we need to go and die on. But we have a Savior who died for us that we need to believe in. That's why Jesus came. That you and I can have access and the full attention. When we say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you got God's attention. There's room at the cross, church. There's nothing so bad that you have done that the blood of Jesus cannot purify. So I encourage you today, if you don't believe or you never had a chance to believe in Jesus, call upon the name of Jesus today. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying in my place. So today I can call upon the Father. And the Father will not turn his face. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for your love. For God so loved Sean that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. Thank you. I can call upon you today, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you hear me. You hear me now. You hear the whisper. You hear the feeling of everyone's heart today. Because we have placed our faith in Jesus. Father, I cannot earn or do anything to approach you. The curtain has been torn. Jesus is interceding on our behalf. Thank you for a salvation so great that I'm not rejected. You will not forsake me. You have a place prepared for me. But while I am here on this earth, Father, I will display your glory. The glory that your Son brought you when the tomb was empty. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor.